Yeah. Who? How do we feel about PDA?
Public
displays of affection. Within reason. Thumbs up. Yep. So like hugging people in. Oh, that, there we go. There's PDA. So Sarah doesn't like PDA.
Whereas I love PDA. Like I'm always like
Emma's a PDA person.
Yeah. Interesting. So I am not so big on being touched or touching, but I find PDA really sweet. Like it warms my heart. Like, Yeah.
Like when you're hugged or?
No, seeing other people do PDA. Oh.
That's a bit weird.
Yeah, it's a bit realistic, but I have boundaries, but I also appreciate other people's,
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, like, again, within reason, like, it's always been gross when you see couples who are like fully all over in public and you're like, okay, get a room. But it's also, really sweet to see people who, like, enjoy spending time with each other and enjoy like having like being just in like passively in contact because like I always think it's really sweet when couples are like when someone is sleepy and puts a head on the other shoulder just like without even thinking about it. I'm like, oh,
yeah. Absent-minded PDA.
Yes.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be in, just in relationships though, right? Like just with friends.
Platonic
as well.
PDA is where it's
at.
That's
Plutonic. Plutonic.
I feel like platonic PDA also very rarely breaches limits that people are like, of what people are comfortable with. Because people aren't like, oh, why are those two friends hugging? Yeah. But they might be like, ew, like, I don't want to see your tongue.
Well, I like it. I like PDA. I enjoy hugging my mates and giving the occasional bum pat. And I enjoy it with my wife. I enjoy hugging her and holding her hand and kissing her and all that sort of stuff. what was that, Taylor?
Definitely, Beck is going to the new house to start
it now. I was just echoing.
If anyone knows my wife well, she very much likes PDA.
Yes.
You may have been on the reciprocal, on the
receiving
end of that. But in fact, I went one step further with my public display of love for my wife, and some of you may know this. That's my wedding finger. Underneath my ring, I have a tattoo of the letter B for Beck. Even though her name's Rebecca, I didn't think that through. So I marked myself with the letter of her first name. And this is becoming more and more common, right? Like, tattoos have become, really in your generation, a massive thing in the last 20 years. There's a lot more people that have markings all over their body. And a lot of these people with tattoos obviously have tattoos that mean something to them. So whether it be a picture or words or whatever, we mark ourselves with things that mean something to us. I'm sure some of you in this room have that. And they're often to do with another person, or a symbol that represents someone else. I have some friends that you know. One of them may be a sibling of mine who went a step further than this. I don't know if you can see that very well.
Oh, we're getting there.
He wouldn't give me a photo. So my brother and one of my best mates are on their bucks weekend away, got branded, like a cow branding, except on their body. So this was my brother, and you can see there's like three giant scars across his arm. I actually wasn't there for his branding. I think I arrived the day after. And I asked him, oh, what does it mean for you now? Like, he's been married, gosh, I don't know, 5 years. 5 years down the line, what does it mean for you now? And he sort of laughed, and he's like, well, I think initially it was probably just me being a silly young boy and having fun with the boys on a weekend away. But he's like, I like to think that it maybe is a little bit of, you know, me and Jazz and God, this sort of three thing, but probably more like just the eternal nature of it. I'm always going to have this here, and so that symbolises our marriage in some way, which is cool. I was there for Lincoln's branding, and it was horrific. We did the coastal trek down south coast, which was awesome. We walked for 2 days. We camped over in the middle of the bush, in the middle on the night. And that night, lit a fire. There were a few drinks being passed around. One of the boys, I think one of the groomsmen, had got him a present, and it was a personalized brand. So it was like a long iron pole, and on the end was like a circle. I can't remember how big it was, probably no bigger than this. And it was a circle, and then in the middle of it was the letters, all in metal, L and Z. And so it was obviously planned, and you know, everyone was psyching up, and we actually did have a vote on the night. I think there were 8 boys there.
3 nurses.
And
all the nurses voted yes.
Yeah, you guys know the story better than me. I was one of the 3 that voted no. I'm just going to put that out there. But obviously we got voted out. So they held him down. They had the brand of fire for ages. It came out like red, white, hot. And unfortunately, because we are silly boys, we didn't really know how to brand people. And what you're supposed to do, like you've probably seen in the movies or wherever, is bring it out of the fire and put it in water. So it cools it down instantly, and then you put it on. But they just went straight out of the fire and onto Lincoln's like butt cheek side of his leg. And I'm sorry if you're squeamish, but what happened was it literally just went and slid straight off his leg, just melted away his skin. It was not good. I think they even tried to do it a second time. Lincoln ran off down to the ocean. And, yeah, I don't know. So anyway,
and he wasn't trapped, like,
it wasn't good. And then he walked next day for 7 or 8 k's or however long it was. It wasn't. It didn't end up being great. He was in hospital the day before his wedding. I don't think Zoe was very happy about that. But what is the point of this? I think in some way there's a deeper thing going on here, right? Like, it's not all just about having a few drinks with the boys and being silly, although it makes for good stories. In some way, I think we still all find meaning in marking ourselves or being bound to someone in a deeper way. I was trying to think of what it would be for people that don't have to-dos, and for people that are married, obviously, there's like putting a ring on a finger and this is it for life, and or for the woman, taking the man's name is like this real sort of like binding together of people. Or even like for me, like having children with someone, like that's an incredibly binding thing for 2 people. But if you're not married, what about the unseen things? What about when you're forming a relationship with someone, whether it be a friendship or whatever? And over time, you know how, like, do you ever sometimes you think back to when you first met the person? Like, just say you've been friends with someone for, like, 3 months, 6 months, and you think back to when you first met the person and how you acted around each other? Like, and then just, it's like this weird process, isn't it? Like, the more time you spend together, you just slowly take down more and more walls and let them in more and more, and you trust each other more. And like, it almost becomes like this contract between you. Like, oh, I can trust you now because I've spent this time with you, so I'll let you in to the real me more and more. There's like a binding together within relationships in this way. Are you with me? Yeah. So we do all these things, we mark ourselves, we bind ourselves, we seal ourselves to someone else, and we find it valuable. We're going to spend a few minutes tonight just looking at what the woman says about this in chapter 8 of Song of Songs, and then briefly what the New Testament has to say about it. And then I'm going to pray for us. But how about you pray with me now really quickly? Holy Spirit, we just pray that you're here with us, that all glory is given to you, and that you would just have your way tonight, Lord. May the conversation be fruitful. May every word that comes from my mouth be of yours. And if it not, may it fall to the ground, Lord. We just want to give you glory tonight. We love you. And just be with us. We welcome you here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so verse 6a says this: "Place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. This is arguably the most famous verse from Song of Songs. I think for good reason. It's just a really beautiful passage. And even more than that, I think the verses after this, Sam, I think I heard you talking about it, where she's actually describing love, right? Being stronger than the grave. It's the only time in the whole book that it actually describes love in that way. And it's really lovely. So seals, what's she going on about with seals? So ancient seals came in two predominant forms in the... just had a mind blank. In this period of time. They were these. So I know it's hard to see, everyone. This is a cylinder seal. So it's literally just a cylinder that you would roll over and then the markings would come out, right? And then this is like a little stamp. You just stamp it, like on the back of a letter, right? You know, every now and then you still see that with like a wax thing and they'd seal it at the back. But predominantly they were used for sending goods, so for trade. So they would mark their seal on something and send it off. And while this is interesting, the most important lesson for this seals thing is that it symbolized things like ownership or allegiance or loyalty or personal identification, right? And so by the woman saying that, place me like a seal over your heart or on your arm, in some way she's almost saying, like, I own you. You belong to me. We are bound. Like, when people see you in public, they also see me because I've sealed myself onto you. And this harks back to verse 1 in what can seem like a very weird verse. And it says this: if only you were to me like a brother who was nursed at my mother's breasts, then if I found you outside, I would kiss you and no one would despise me. No, she's not fantasizing about kissing her brother. What's going on here? See, in ancient culture, it was actually seen as shameful to be kissing or PDAing with your lover or with your husband. But it wasn't seen shameful if you're doing that with your sibling. You see what she's doing?
Wait, can I start by, like, lip on lip or just, like, cheek?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah, you can look into that.
On the lips, like, even now, like,
yeah. Now. Yeah. Yeah. Don't know. So what's she saying? The woman is just longing for people in public to see how bound they are together, that they are sealed together as one. She wants it to be a public thing. Last thing I'll say about the verse is that there's this purposeful description of where the seal is going to be located. Something I just really encourage you when reading the Bible is... that I think often, especially those of us that have grown up in church, we can like just speed read through the Bible. But often, well, always I would say, the words that are used are really important. They've always got deeper meanings. So she talks about, where am I? She talks about being sealed on the heart and sealed on the arm. In the ancient world, the heart was where all your thoughts, all your decisions, all those sorts of things, that's where it was spoken about, right? Where the arm, this symbolized actions. It symbolized what you did, the way you lived. And so she's saying that she wants the man to think of her when he is thinking, when he is making decisions, when he's planning his life, when he was doing things. It should all symbolize or in some way be influenced by her. Yeah? Sealing yourself onto someone or being sealed by someone else is a deep, intimate, loving thing to do, whether it be with a tattoo or a branding or a ring or letting someone emotionally sort of into you and becoming friends. These are things that have significance in our life. But if we're honest, I think we also hope for something in return, don't we? I marked myself because I love my wife, because I want to spend the rest of my life with her. But I'd be lying if I didn't admit that I also expected something in return. That she would in some way reciprocate this kind of dedication to me. Maybe not through a tattoo, but maybe through her thoughts, through her plans, through her decisions, through her actions. Yeah? Being sealed together with someone, I think, is a two-way street. It goes both ways. And this is not lost on God, which brings us to the New Testament passage. Did you know that you are sealed by God? That when you decide to follow Jesus, he seals you. Check out these verses. 2 Corinthians. Now it is God who makes both us, this is Paul talking, so Paul probably and one of his fellow dudes that went to the Corinthian church, and you, so the Corinthian church, it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, there's that ownership word again, and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. And then in Ephesians later on, when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. When you become a Christian, God puts a seal on you. And that seal is the Holy Spirit. Why? To show the world that you belong to him, that your allegiance is to God, that you are loyal only to him. I titled this sermon Love on Display for two reasons. Firstly, because this is what the woman of Song of Songs so desperately wants, I think. For her love for her man to be for all the world to see. But secondly, because this should be the same for us. That everyone in our life would know our deep and intimate love of God. Through the way we think. Through our decisions, through the plans that we make, through the way that we live our life, it should all reflect him. Yeah? If we are sealed with his spirit, this should influence our whole being in the way that we live our life. And so I just want to finish, short sermon, I just want to finish with a couple of questions for us. The first one is this. I'm going to pray over us in a minute. And I'm just going to address these two things. The first one being, have you been sealed with the Holy Spirit? If not, would you like to be? Because there's no better time than now. This doesn't mean that our life is all of a sudden going to become squeaky clean and pitch perfect and all the other... I don't think pitch perfect is a thing. But... what it does mean is that God wants to spend your whole life with you together. He wants to... I know that it can in a way sound a bit daunting, that he wants to own you. Maybe that sits uncomfortable with us. But if we're thinking about the creator of the universe, love itself, then I'd want to be owned by that. I'd want to be used by him. And he wants to influence every part of our being as we live. So I'm going to pray, part of it being that. If you want to do that just to yourself, you can pray with me. Yeah? The second one is this. If you have made a decision to follow Jesus in the last weeks, months, years of your life, all of us, I've been a Christian for 15 years now, and I still battle with handing over thoughts and decisions and actions of my life to him. Yeah, I still wrestle with that stuff. And I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to bring something to your mind that maybe you're holding back. Maybe you've got some unforgiveness going on. Maybe your attitude towards your work or school or whatever it is not great. I don't know what it is. It could be anything. And we're just going to have a time of just saying sorry to the Lord and letting him minister to us. Does that sound okay? Okay. I'm going to get you to do something. Can we all stand? It's all right. This is a safe place. We're all friends here. Can we close our eyes?